Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had quite a week. And I tell you, the call has continued to come in. They want to know, how can a person steal a whole radio station with his equipment and everything? They want to know. The people wants to know, how is it possible? How do we get away with this? Well, anytime you in a community that has been miseducated, this is what you get. They don't challenge no one because they're afraid that the white evil empire will find out about it. They're being taught to be afraid of white folks, scared to death of these racist white folks. And you got so many black people now, so many, buying into the ideology of white folks. You'd be surprised how many black people supported Trump. I had a friend out of Chicago who actually supported Trump. I had to cut him loose because I knew that there was a problem. I cannot support anyone who will support a racist. We live in a racist society. And let me say this. It's so hard to believe that in the year 2022, we have a county in Michigan with a legal system, disantiquated and racist. When I say racist, I mean racist. You got racist judges. You got racist prosecutors. You got racist people working in the courthouse. You got all these races, and yet we still try to be friends with these devils. These are nothing but devils. And it's not just here in Barron County. It's all over the state. It's all over the state. And we continue to do the same thing every single day and expect a different result. It's not going to happen. They got us. Because we have failed. We have failed our children and our children's children. We allow these people to get away with stuff. Look at the jobs. All the good jobs and careers they got. Your best career job is a dope dealer. That's it. Your best job is a dope dealer. See, the Black Holocaust from 1619 to 1861, more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. Over 35 million were killed by slave traders, making it the greatest Holocaust the world has ever known. That's right. Making it the greatest Holocaust that the world has ever known. From 1619 to 1861, more than 15 Africans were sold into slavery. Over 35 million were killed by the greatest Holocaust the world has ever known. But you never hear them talking about that. They will never talk about stuff like that. And we should educate our children so they would know the history, you see. We don't want them to know the truth. We don't want them to know all about slavery. We don't want them to know these things. You know, as a people that has been traumatized for over 450 years of abuse, mistreatment, torture, hanging, beatings. To this day, even though we may look like people who has no hope, God has chosen us. God has chosen us to stand up. That is the truth. And then, you know, things like this, these all-white juries. See, you don't have a chance in that courtroom. No amount of evidence would ever persuade an idiot, a racist idiot. No. You see, I went to trial, and they had absolutely no evidence that a crime was committed. None. But this all-white jury found me guilty. Spent 30 months in prison. 30 months Can you imagine that? Think about this for a second. Think about spending 30 months in prison for a crime that was never committed. But here's the sad part. They're saying, even though there was no such charge, that it is no constitutional violation. None. What they're actually saying is that it is no constitutional violation. None. So they're saying that if you pick up someone off the street and arrest them, the police officer did, and you go into the courtroom, he got a 99.9 chance of being convicted. Most likely the jury will be all white. Most likely. Because remember this, no amount of evidence would ever persuade a racist idiot. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you say or what you do. No amount of evidence will persuade him. Because 99.9% of the time, before anything, you step into that courtroom, you're going to have a white judge. You're going to have a white prosecutor. Your attorney going to be white, which he's really not your attorney. You're going to have an all-white jury, and you got a 99.9.9.9% chance of being convicted. That's right. You have this thing. Because one of the things, and the reason why they continue to get away with this stuff is this. People don't want to be on the jury. No. Black people do not want to be on the jury until they turn. Then they want black folks on the jury. Well, black folks, when they're outnumbered, remember this. They vote along with them. They want to be like them. You see? See, I would never be on the jury because they wouldn't let me. Because I deal with the truth, you see. These people don't deal with the truth. It's a shame how they have destroyed our community with these lies. Do you believe? Look, 50% of the people that's in prison today are probably innocent. 50%. Well, you say, well, it's hard for you to believe. No. It's accurate, and it's right there. 50% of the people that's in prison today, most likely is innocent. You got to remember, not everything that is faced can be changed. But nothing can be changed until it's faced. Nothing. I don't care what it is. It can't be. You got to love life enough to struggle for progress. Everyone's future depends on this. We're in what we call a mist. And it's unfortunate that stuff like this happened. But it is what it is. We don't stand up and fight back unless it's us. And that's why we lose. I don't lose at nothing. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't lose at nothing. These evil devils, I have to circle the wagon on them because I know how to defeat them. I've done it so many times. They done lied, they done cheated, they done stole. And got away with it. That's what I'm talking about. They get away with this stuff. Nobody ever say a mumbling word. Nobody even talks about it. Nobody really cares about it until it's their turn. Then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. That's how they do. That stuff can play it out. See, the art of being wise is knowing who to ignore and what to overlook and where to leave things, when to move on, and why all this is necessary. See, black people are the only people playing by the rules, created by people who don't follow the rules. No, they don't follow the rules. Why should they? There's two sets of constitutions. One for white folks, one for black folks. Now, here's the thing. I was talking about this. How do you get arrested with no charge? There is no constitutional violation. And they're going to win that. They're going to win it because they're all on the same page. They are going to win that, knowing they're lying. But, you know, it's going to come up again. You don't live forever. You don't live forever. And that's really unfortunate. Who would have believed that that this could happen? And I got my good friend Phil Bass. This is he's a hero. He wrote a book about me, and from his point of view, and I thought it was excellent. It moved me to a different level. It got me thinking about all the things that we need to do. And what's making so important is that it characterized me as a person. You see, usually if you read the newspaper, I'm like a monster. You see, they want to say that I'm the worst person is in the world, but they don't understand. When I fight, I win. I don't back down for them, the evil empire. You see, who will believe that they're saying right now that there was no constitutional violation of sending me to prison? None. They said even though it was no such charge, I knew it at the beginning. I told them. I told Kat, a Harvard man. I said, Kat, there's no such charge as forgery on a recall petition, on a petition period. I said, there's no such charge. He said, it got to be a charge. They wouldn't be charging you. I said, no, Kat, read it. I showed him 169.937. I said, read it. This is what they charged me with. There's no such charge as forgery on a recall petition. That's a penalty, not a charge. And there was no charge. There is no charge of forgery on a, they may have one now they call it the Pinckney law, but it's they were saying that they made them. They ain't made no mistake. There never was a law that says that you can go to jail or you have committed a crime by forgery on the recall petition. What they normally do, and they always did this, I've been doing this a long time, they would just cross the signature out if it didn't match. Cross it out. But here's something that happened just recently. The Republican Party, Johnson, the chairman, signatures that was forged, and he never was brought up for charges. Craig, the former chief of police of Detroit, he had about 10,000 signatures that were forged, and they haven't even questioned them about it. But what's making so amazing is that we allow them to get away with that. You see, they only can get away with what you allow them to. And if you allow them to get away, they will get away with it. They'll make you seem like the bad guy, and they're the one doing all the damage. That's how they operate, you see. And you're never, ever, ever going to get justice. I'm never going to see justice in my lifetime. You know, no matter how hard I try, it's not going to happen. I don't even think my children would ever see justice. I don't even think my grandchildren would ever see justice. They're not going to do it. It's the system. It's this system. People don't understand. It's the whole darn system. Until we're able to change this system, it's going to continue just like it is. Well, listen, let me bring in my good friend Phil. Phil, Tell me a little bit about you.
Well, I'm just a resident of Kalamazoo. I'm a painter. I'm just a blue collar worker. I met you well, 17 years ago now.
Yeah.
And I was running an online newspaper at the time, and that's how we got a hold of you.
Yeah.
And just to hear your story, you were such a friendly, funny guy.
Yeah.
I liked you right away.
Yeah.
And then to see what they were doing to you was very sad to me, and I had to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the 17-year journey has waked me up so much, Reverend. And I just want to thank you just for all the sacrifices that you've made to open up my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many people in the United States that you've woken up, but I know it's a bunch. It's in the hundreds or maybe even thousands.
All across this country, when I was in prison, I received 25,000 letters. People was writing. I had so much mail coming in. They had to change the schedule. I go to bed at 8:00. So they bring my. They bring one day. They had brought my mail. It was about 8:30. And when they brought my mail, the first thing that happened was that I chewed them out. I told the lieutenant, don't you ever bring me my meal after 8:00 again. I go to bed at 8:00, and I did it in front of everybody. Everybody was looking. I said, don't ever do that again. I was angry because I'm in the bed, and now I got my pajamas on. I got to get all up and do. But the point that I'm trying to make is that when I was in prison, we got over 25,000 letters. I had so much mail, the guys wanted to write me a ticket for having so much junk. I didn't have enough room in my locker. I didn't have enough room under my bed. I didn't have enough room nowhere for all the letters. And most of them I had to throw away, but I did read, let's say, 90% of them. But I say this to say this, Phil. We're in a position now where we have to do something. We can't sit back and wait, you know. And this government, either we're going to be governed by this government who don't care nothing about us, or we're going to have to govern ourselves. What do you think?
Well, people call that anarchy, but it's starting to look more attractive than what we've got now.
Yeah.
I don't think that we could have a system that's more sick than what we have now.
Yeah.
I guess if you go to a dictatorship,
you
know, we see those as so horrible.
Yeah.
But look what goes on in our country in a supposed democracy, right?
Yeah.
And it's disturbing to me that it had to go all the way to the Supreme Court, that the appeals court didn't even recognize that something was wrong, even though it was a made-up law.
Right.
So what kind of mistake is that? They compounded the mistake, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the sad part, the Court of Appeals said, this is what they said. They said that we don't care about there was no evidence to convict him. Yeah, we don't care. That's what they said.
Right.
If you know?
Stupid jury convicts you, then that's
in stone. Right? That's the American way. You're convicted by 12 people of your peers, you see. And regardless whether you're innocent or guilty, whether they had evidence or not, it doesn't mean nothing, you see. And even now, this is what gives me. They're saying right now, I'm 4 different sets of judges said that there was no constitutional violation in sending me to prison. None. They said, so what if it was no charge? You know, so what you had to do 30 months? So what? You know, there was no constitutional violation. And anybody who agreed with that, there got to be something wrong with them. You know, so if you're walking down the street, minding your own business, two cops put you in the back seat of the car, take you to jail, and make up a charge. And the jury vote and convict you on something that you know that you didn't do. And then you do all this time. There's no constitutional violation. This is Nazi Germany. This is what they did in Nazi Germany. They took people off the street, put them in concentration camps, and nobody said nothing. But here's the thing. I know you've been with me a long time, and I really, really appreciate you. You know, you're my friend. I consider you my friend, and we've been friends for a long time. You know, we just been together, and I got nothing but love and respect for you. Nothing but love and respect for you. And it's so huge, you know, that you know that you and I can be together. And you know, I'm a black man. You're a white man, but you're a good white man. You see what I'm saying? You're good.
Yeah. And you're a good black man.
Well, bless your heart. You know what I'm saying? And you know, but
not only that, but you're a good man. You're a remarkable man. Mm-hmm. One of the best men. One of the bravest men in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you're rewarded is they want to put you away because you don't fit.
Yeah.
You don't fit with the system,
mm-hmm.
which likes not just a little bit of corruption, but a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, spread out through the whole system, even up to the highest echelon,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the higher we get, maybe the more corrupt it is.
Well, the richer. See, this capitalistic system is failing. You see?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's failing. And what it's doing now, they have to have a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
See? To see how much people can would take.
Oh,
you
yeah.
see, a lot of times, you know, we're gonna lock you down, you mm-hmm. know, and we're gonna make you wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna do this, and see when is you gonna fight back?
Mm-hmm.
See, do you have any fight in you? Mm-hmm. You know, and most people don't want to fight. You know, they want to go on their daily life. They, you know, and that's why they're able to pick up their children. They're able to do all these things. See, with this pandemic, now the price of oil went up, gas, and you know, it went up.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they say it because of the pandemic,
right.
Okay? But what it did is the millionaires, the billionaires, it made millionaires billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the sad part about all that stuff. Then we had the Ukrainian war, which a lot of people don't know this. This is the United States of America war. This ain't the event. They sent them almost $1 trillion. You know, $1 trillion. And they got over 100,000 Ukrainians coming to the United States. You see? And they're going to set them up for life. Oh, yeah. They're going to set them up for life. They'll never have to worry about nothing else. Ever again. Look, this country got money, you know, but they're very selective who they spend on. When you become an elected official, even let's talk about Benton Harbor elected officials. What they have done, let's start with these guys who set up the Harbor Shores, the Jack Nicklaus Signature Golf Course. They were paid handsomely, you see. They were paid by Whirlpool. And Cornerstone Alliance, all these little entities, all of them working together against the people. When I say working together, these guys, you know, they feel comfortable selling stuff that hurt the community. That's look at Ben Hobb. Ben Hobb is a mess. It's a mess. Then all these years we have not made any progress. None. And the reason we have not made any progress. Because we got too many people selling their souls to the devil, and that's a shame, Phil. I mean, I sit here and you know what? That's the only thing that hurts me about a human being when he becomes a sellout. I mean, I think you should fight for everything, you know. And I'm willing to make this supreme sacrifice, you know, for people that don't even like me. And I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. I'm not trying to win a popular. I don't care whether you like me or not. You see, I only want to do what's going to build up this community, you know. And here's another thing. When I blew the whistle on the governor and this mayor about this water, they was mad. They was angry. But my thing was, I called them murderers. I called the governor a murderer, and I called the mayor a murderer. We don't even know how many people died because they don't say people died from water. They don't say that. They say, well, you know, a kidney. He died from kidney disease. He died from liver disease, heart disease, brain tumor. But they never say how it affects our children, how that lead eat up our children. But it's something that people don't know. You never supposed to blow the whistle as a black man on the power structure. And that's what we did. And they made it go, he can't, nobody is that smart. They don't know what to do. You know, in a little small town like Benson House, they still drinking this contaminated water. They still brushing their teeth with this contaminated water. They still washing their food off with this contaminated water. They still making baby formulas with this contaminated water, and they still bathing in this contaminated water, and nobody's saying nothing. The only reason I know, because we only give them 10 cases of water every 2 weeks. So if you're gonna do at least one case, and we talking about 14 days, and you don't need no more water. Phil, I gotta say, Phil, we're in a mess. These people, they don't know. They minds are somewhere it shouldn't be, and they always trying to do stuff that don't make sense to me. And that's the way it is. But
and I don't see much of a solution if people are that brainwashed that they think that the water is still fine.
Yeah,
and they obviously don't care.
Yeah,
I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah.
You can't help people that don't want to help themselves.
That's right. And the sad part about that is that they're getting the pipes fixed.
Yeah,
and that's all because that's our work. That's sure. The Benton-Harbor Community Water Council work. You know, they want to take credit for it. I don't care who get credit for it. I don't care as long as they have clean, safe water.
So how many people have new pipes now?
Well, according 80% of
80%.
The community.
80%, is that right?
Yeah.
80% of people, when the water comes out of their faucet, it doesn't have lead in it?
Well, all we can say is that the pipes didn't change.
Oh.
You see.
Have you done further testing? On the water? I mean,
what we're going to do next week is go knock on some doors and find out, you know, because we're not taking their word for nothing.
Sure.
You know, when it comes to the people that live in this community, I don't care what they say. If I don't see it, I don't believe it.
Sure.
No. I don't, even them changing the pipes. If I don't actually see them changing the pipes, I don't believe it. You know what I'm saying? I just don't believe it, you know. And that's the way it's supposed to be. I just don't believe it. You can't tell me that the water was safe and you knew it was contaminated. Now all of a sudden it's back safe again, you see. So that's the issue that worries me. I was on call with the guys from the EPA and Eagles. And my question to him, he's saying the water is safe now. It's no longer and I said, well, would you let your children drink the water?
Yeah.
He hesitated. He wouldn't say a mumbling words, you know. I said, will you let your children drink this water? Yes or no? It's a simple thing. Well, it all depends on the circumstances. All depends on the circumstances. What are you saying? Either it's yes or no. There's no in between. I caught them off guard because they didn't expect me or anybody else to say that, you know. And
I guess the answer was no.
Well, that's what I said. I said, I'm going to believe right now that the answer is no. You won't let them drink this water.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, the water is not drinkable. It's not safe to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they you never seen so many red faces. They was angry because it was big, because everybody, it must have been about 40 people on that call. And I'm pretty sure he got chewed out because it threw their whole strategy. They was trying to convince me and the petitioners, my petitioners, that that the water was drinkable. It was safe to drink. You know, they came. They had a chart they put up there, and so you know, they and once they got through with the chart, my question to him was simple. Would you allow your children to drink this water? You know, I know he got chewed out because that blew the whole presentation, you see. So, but who cares? You know, it's Benton-Harbor is a black city. They don't have nobody who able to think. The mayor's about as dumb as he can get. And they don't see that, you know. And they was going around saying, the water was safe to drink. They were trying to tell people the water was safe to drink, knowing that the water was not. I feel it's one of those situations where people have often really don't care. A lot of times, if you don't do your homework, see, I went out and got me an engineer. I went out and got me a scientist. I went out and got me a lawyer, some lawyers. I went out and got me some activists. I had a roll call. They said, wow, how did he go out and get all these people, all these folks who want to come and help? You see, that was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we filed that petition, it blew their wig off.
Well, they heard that you're a person of high principle.
Yeah, yeah.
You're willing even to go to prison
mm-hmm.
for 2.5 years because you knew that these penalties could happen to you. You knew that they've been gunning for you since around 2000 or so.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you've got a lot of respect. A lot of people forget that the Green Party wanted you to be their presidential candidate.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then when I also ran for state rep from prison. See, that was and got over 5,000 votes from prison.
Yes.
I didn't even campaign. What if I were to campaign?
Right.
They would have got a chance to listen to me.
Yeah. And I love your answer when they asked you to be the presidential candidate.
Yeah.
I don't know if you said this to them, but you told me, you said, I don't want to do that because I like to do things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I
that was very telling to me.
Right. And my thing, Phil, was that I was trying to encourage other people, especially black folks, to get out here and do stuff. And don't do it for yourself. Move yourself out the way. You know, do it for the future of our children.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what we don't fight. See, they have a beat down so much that we're not willing to fight and take a stand.
Well, you, Reverend, are an unusual person because you're braver than most.
Mm-hmm.
I think that most people coming out of, if they did 2.5 years in prison, would probably want to stay away from there for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
But you are still fighting and still going after the criminals.
Yeah, the power structure, the evil empire.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then you see one thing, when they send you to prison, now you're supposed to go hide underneath the rock. You know, see, they thought for sure they had buried me. They said, Reverend Pinckney would never be back. We done buried him 6 feet underground. But the problem was they didn't bury me. They only planted me. And when you plant something, you expect it to rise again. You see, and that was the story right there. You expect it to rise again, and I am rising and not allowing anything else to come in. But look, I'm going to bring in my good friend, Dr. Tans. And
I always love listening to Dr. Tans.
Dr. Tans, the one and only. It's not even two of you.
Thank you, Honorable, and your guests. And it's so important that history rewards our research. And see, you're showing a form of unity, and many may not like what I'm getting ready to say, but because the young man is standing by you, that he needs to be recognized as that 1%. And what the study showed back during the time of Rodney King and showed later with George Floyd, that 99% of European Americans subconsciously, consciously, overtly do and project prejudice, and some are in a position to do systemic racism. Of that 99%, 1% of that group was able to answer questions or surveys correctly, but when they looked at some of the senators and those representatives' track record and their positions that they said publicly or in print, they found out that their position was totally different. And so he's your John Brown that's sitting next to you right now. He's your Tim Weiss that's sitting next to you right now. He's your Jane Elliott that's sitting right next to you. So he's that diamond, but most of them are zirconium or cheap glass trying to impersonate and imitate. But the accountability has to be not for him, but on us. You see, Dr. King pointed out the young men who's with you, when they go back to their communities talking about equal justice, equal rights, they catch hell. But we have to now remove the mindset, and what he may not be aware of is that he was correct. There was a time when they assassinated Lumumba, they assassinated the Nyerere, they assassinated Malcolm, they assassinated King, and then they replaced those real leaders with your Jesse Jacksons and your Al Sharptons, who are FBI informants, and that has been the status quo. And so everybody has followed a do-nothing philosophy, and Dr. Claude Anderson tracked it and showed that in 1960 there were only 103 politicians who were black in the United States. And then he came back in 1990 and reassessed and saw that now there were greater than 9,000 blacks in politics, and the situation for black people have gotten worse. So we know that the situation economically had got worse, socially, housing, prison, all had got worse. And then, again, they did a reassessment of the state of black affairs or the black economics and housing and police and work and employment. Looked at all of those things after the black president had left office. So after 8 years after black president, the situation has even got worse, and the violence against the African-American who are descendants of enslaved Africans has gotten worse. And that other groups are now protected who actually practice racism against the descendants of enslaved Africans or the Africans. So I'm going to talk about the Asians. Got a hate bill. Homosexual transgenders, they got a hate bill. The Jewish population has a hate bill. Everybody has a hate bill except the African American. No one has provided us with a hate bill. And so the other thing that has to be looked at is why is that? And why is that is because the United States Constitution says that the descendants of enslaved Africans who are entitled to reparations by the 1866 Indian Treaty, that the Indians who enslaved them now have to pay them, that group, the descendants of enslaved Africans, are in the Constitution of the United States as not being human but as property. So when the Constitution says we the people, that does not relate to any African American that is the descendant of a slave in the United States. Any Native African American, any Native Black, any descendant of an enslaved African, or you are not a part of the Constitution, and that's what's actually the problem mentally, that we're thinking that we're a part of this government, a part of this system. No, they're treating us as a courtesy. And that was reaffirmed with the Dred Scott decision, reaffirmed from the constitutional level, where that young lady sitting, Keetra, whatever her name is, Jackson, and then also Clarence Thomas, they're in that position where the institutions of the United States is supported by the Supreme Court, which was to support an early white affirmative action bill. All the affirmative action bills in the beginning, the 1700s, were to protect white interests in the United States as this country was being formed and taken away from the Utes or Native people that we call them American Indians, even though that we know that the Folson, F-O-L-S-O-N, people here who are the original Native people or Native Americans, those were Africans, and that the Alaskans intermarried with them and formed what we call the Native American, which was the brown-skinned man, which later became the red man. And then with the Dawes Commission, the D-A-W-E-S Commission, the Dawes Commission, European Americans were allowed to pay $5 and become part of the Native American community and receive those benefits. So what has happened, I'm giving you this background, in that we're the only people who are non-immigrants in the United States. The African American is the only non-immigrant in the United States. And because he does not control the educational system, he has been educated in the posture of being a servant. He has been educated in a posture to always make sure that you put white first. And your brother right there will tell you that up until the Emancipation Proclamation, European Americans were proud of their individual heritage. They were proud to be Irish. They were proud to be Polish. They were proud to be Scottish. They were proud to be French or from Australia. Through that movement, with the formation of the Ku Klux Klan, they gave up their individual nationalities to use the term white, which does not define anything, but because they're not white, then and you say leukoderm, because closer you can get, but they unified behind the term white, and they stripped the African, and people don't know, the first Episcopalian church, it was first the first African Episcopalian church, the first African Baptist church, the first African Methodist church, the African was being used as a definition all the way after the Emancipation Proclamation. But after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Ku Klux Klan went to redefine them and give them new names, you know, Negro and colored and these other terms, so that they would not have a unifying language to attach mm-hmm. with a country. And see, but we know that your brother can tell you who's next to you, where from Europe is he from. There is no native-born European-American here. There was no transatlantic slave trade. It was the European and European-American slave trade. And they just crossed the Atlantic Ocean. It had nothing to do with it. It never signed off. So what happens is that we got to have our people clear it down. Brothers like him are pushing for correct history, correct truth, so that we can exist as human beings. But the politician is never to do that. The politician is to maintain an order, and how you be a politician based on the study of history is that you go in there poor to try to become rich. And what happens is when you have poor politicians and poor communities, they don't become rich. They just disenfranchise and allow corporate to European Americans to get rich, allow Arab Americans to get rich, to allow Pakistanis and Indians to get rich, but never the African community to enrich itself, because that's the free money that everyone's pulling from. And so his words, I'm sorry to say, he may not even realize that people he will read your speech, and black people will embrace that speech better than if it was said and read by you, simply because of how we've been educated in the school system to look at him of more value and his words of more power, even though that you're on the front line. And that's why, even though you, with the Benton Harbor Community Water Council, is the only reason that people have water standing in the back of their doors, in the front of their doors, the only reason that within a year, less than a year's time, that they have their lead pipes replaced, because the records will show that the Adamarche organization, European American organization with French name, Au Bon Marché, which means a good price, gave a good price to Benton Harbor and told them they're going to do it for 20 years to do it. They'll do a 5-year pilot and then do it over the next 20 years. And you expose that at the EPA meeting. At the EPA meeting, you expose that with Dr. Moncrief, that would be 20 years of poisoning. Just like some other cities are trying to agree to a 20-year plan, which means that you are allowing 20 years, condoning 20 years of an accessory to 20 years of poisoning. And they blocked you and from the governor meeting, because they knew if you and the governor met and y'all were on the same page, then they could not lie, deceit, or do anything, and they would be out of the picture. So that's why they had to send the guy Gilchrist and not for you to meet with the governor, because it would have been all over and their caskets would have been done. So it's because of these efforts that we also have to always use history to keep our compliments from being a mystery, and also to keep our real leaders from being a mystery. Because when they promote the leaders, they're the ones who are going to be using, like you're going to have the Benton spirit who are going to try to impersonate the Benton Harbor Community Water Council. And they're going to try to go on the radio and try to be in the paper to imitate. They have not done one damn thing, not a single thing, and they don't have a history of doing anything. They only came in so that if somebody would come from the governor's office, that they would have somebody to speak to. But they cannot say, or Priscilla Tobias cannot say, that she's done anything to bring about what has occurred here to correct the lead pipe problem, the lead poison problem in the city of Bid Harbor. That paper, that organization will never say that. Neither will Nicholas Gunn say anything like that, who's on there. But this is just the smoke screens that are used to confuse black people, because our black people have been confused by TV, by media, to focus on drugs, to focus on sex, and to focus on being the tot over there, that hole over there, and through the music and the media. So that's the thing that our brother may not realize, that we have a psychological attack against us and a physical attack when it comes to the police, and we also have a housing attack when they attack us gently by making sure that we can't afford the loans for a mortgage to do improvements. These are the things that this brother may not be seeing that we do, and it's all based on complexion. It's all based on color. We are non-immigrants, so we're not allowed to get the monies that the Afghanis get. We are not allowed to get the monies that the ones the Ukrainians get. We have never been given that money. All Europeans initially coming to America were given free land and free slaves as a part of the hedge rights coming in. We have never really benefited from America as a people and as a whole, and we were the first stock exchange on the stock exchange market. We were Wall Street's first commodity that was bought and sold and traded on Wall Street, and that mentality hasn't changed. And the Roman arena of us battling each other in the boxing ring or on the football field or basketball court, that has not changed. And so our situation has not changed. So our mentality is what has to change. Our situation hasn't changed, so we have to change our mentality and go back in the history and find out that we were not a mystery, that we helped Europe become the Europe that it was today, and that Europe was named after an African princess named Europa. That we have to go back and see that all your great European leaders or educators all went to Africa next door to study and become intellectual geniuses, because they went to study under intellectual geniuses. So brotherhood will start with the correcting of the history and removing the mystery of who the real African-American is.
Absolutely. And listen, my guest, Phil, he want to ask you a question.
My pleasure.
Dr. Chimes, the prejudice against black people seems to me to be worldwide. Would you
correct.
Agree with that? And could you tell me why is that? What is going on with that?
Okay, so very, very good. So let's just go across. So first of all, I'm going to do like this. O kinga deska, kinga deska, kong bongwa, ni hao, abake se, kama, assalamu alaikum, guten tag. Guten tag, we'll say yes, guten tag. And then we'll say, as claras yet, we'll say, comment allez-vous? We'll say, comment está ustedes? And so what you see that I've done the, in chow, and what we've done is that I started in Japan, and I went across from Japan over into China, over into India, over into the Middle East, and then I went up into Europe and Russia, French, and Spain, and Germany. All of those people at one time had a good relationship with the African, because the African at that particular time, before you had a small group of knuckleheads in the 1400s to develop this thing called the race to the new world, which later became racism, that nationality was not based on pigmentation or skin color. And that we know from the Japanese history that Sakonoto Moro, was their first shogun and samurai of Japan of virgin black skin and woolly hair. Now, they want to go with Yahtzee, but Yahtzee comes later when he comes from America, from Europe to Japan, but the original Japan, the original Japanese are still there today, and the government will tell you they are called the Ainu, and they're called the mountain people of the Ainu. Also, you have the Naki His. You have the Shang, T-S-H-N, you have that group in China as your original Chinese of black skin and woolly hair, who developed the ipecacual folds, as we call them, Mongolian folds, and those eye skin. Then you go over into India, you have Krishna, which means in that language, in the Hindi, black one, the black one, you have that over there. And remember, the Dravidian society was your original, And what wind up happening is when the Indo-Aryan came in, they flipped and created the caste system, because in India at that time, that we know from science and medicine, that they were using linseed oil to darken their babies, because the darker you were in Eastern, well, India, which was called Eastern Ethiopia, the higher you were in that society. And so when the Indo-Aryan came in, they came in as at the bottom because of their lack of melanin, and then they flipped that over to the caste system that you have now, where you have the Brahmin class, which is your light class. The whiter you are in the society, the better you are, and that's why you'll never find any positive words from Mahatma Gandhi or Gandhi talking about the Dravidian, the black-skinned Indian, and the fact when Martin Luther King went over there and found out that he was prejudiced, he never spoke any of Gandhi again. And so yesterday we started with the peaceful movement, but Gandhi's attitude towards the original Indians turned King off. He didn't know that he was that done with that situation. So then we say, yeah, assalamu alaikum, and what we find there is that you find that Muhammad could not read or write. The Prophet Muhammad, blessed be upon him, could not read or write, and that task fell onto Bilal, who was an Ethiopian Abyssinian lawyer who was sent to Medina as an ambassador, who was enslaved as a judge, and he became the right hand of the Prophet Bilal. Prophet Bilal became his right hand and the initial writer of the Quran and the first muezzin, which is the treasurer of there, and the first prayer caller. And actually the word Bilal means the prayer call. He called prayer. Mm-hmm. And so what wind up happening, so you got there. Then you go over into, people need to look up in Beethoven to find out that he was a Moor. People go into Pushkin. Remember, Russians did not have a language. They would have gone be doing French. It was this black man, Alexander Pushkin, who was black and mixed, who wind up developing the Russian language. So when you go into Germany, and all of those countries also have their Madonna and child as an African woman with an African baby, a black mother baby. So you have a long history of blacks and whites and blacks and Asians getting along, and then you have a movement that comes in when they start now. The Arab the Arabs now in 640 AD and start to invade Africa, because as actually Mansa Musa had exposed how much gold was in Africa, that they start to enslave the Africans 500 years mm-hmm. before the Europeans get involved. So you have this collective effort now to steal the wealth of the teachers. See, Timbuktu or Sankore was actually off limits and protected from any slave trading, except when the European American, they have no respect of that, because everybody in the world knew that was the learning center for the world in Africa, on West Africa, University of Timbuktu. But they started kidnapping professors and like that, and that's why we get your Benjamin Banker and you get these other professors that are coming here, because they were kidnapping. So the American slavery was actually the worst than any other slavery. There was no slavery in the world. There was indebtedness in the world, a servitude. The slavery that we know, chattel slavery, that was a European-American invention that you cannot find anyplace else, because if you were in a prison of war, if you didn't owe people, if you didn't do self-indebtedness, you were able to leave that situation. It was never a lifetime commitment, and Hebrew law made it that, a Jewish law made it. It was a six-year commitment, 7 years free. You was a European-American who started this mm-hmm. lifetime a contribution to slavery. So it was a thing that started in the 1400s when Pope Innocent allowed the use of the pigmentation of the people who had saved their lives. Remember, your mm-hmm. species was on the verge of extinction from the bubonic plague until 711 AD, when the Africans came in, set up 16 universities, made education mandatory, because Europe was 99% illiterate. Only the king and the church clergy were allowed to read and write at that time, because Rome had fell. So this brotherhood and love, they lived, they stayed there for 700 years, and after that they had the rebellion of a few knuckleheads who now are your Illuminati, your Trilateral Commission, your Bilderbergs, all of this group now that is trying to eliminate the African race as well as the African-American race. Right.
Dr. Chan, that is too much knowledge. I mean, what you're trying to do is swell my head. I got my daughter, she's on the line, and I'm always happy to see her.
Yeah, I hope that helped to answer the question a little bit.
You did. You did more than answer the question. Matter of fact, you answered 10 other questions that we had. So you right there where you need to be. But listen, we want to thank you so much. I only have a little time left where I want to talk about
you. Get your daughter on.
You're just a huge person. And we really got nothing but love and respect for you. My good friend Phil, he admire you also, and we trying to make it happen. But look, I got to talk about the Sambo. Yesterday we had Judge Mayfield is still on top as the Sambo of the year. He has 6,250 votes so far. Marcus Singer, the mayor here. He went over. He had 100 and let me add that up correctly. He had 6,150, and then you have Dwayne Seats, the other commissioner. He's at about 6,000 now, and Ron Singleton, he's right at him with 5,810, and then you have his Dwayne Seats' mama. You know, like I said, this is the first time in history that we ever had a mother and a son both being nominated for the Sambo of the Year award, and this is huge. And they both get a lot of votes. But I want people to start giving my letter see some love. See, what they're doing is not they're voting for the son, but not the mama, because they don't know about her. She's somebody to be reckoned with. And then we have Ron Singleton, the one who stole the radio station, the only man alive. And look, I'm still getting questions about people saying how he's going to steal a radio station. This guy stole the whole radio station, you know, and now he's in charge, Jeff. But he better hope the FCC don't come in, because they're coming in, somebody going to jail, and I think it's going to be him. And then we have the one and only chief of police, Dan McGinnis. He's well over 5,000, but he's in sixth place. So we have Judge Mayfield in first place. Then we have Marcus Singer, the mayor here. He's in second place. Then we have Dwayne Sinks. He's in third place. Then we have Ron Singleton neck and neck with Sinks. And then we have his Marletta Sinks. He's down a little bit, but I want y'all to give us some love. Come on now. When I look at the tally tomorrow, I want to see some love for my letter C. Now, she deserved the Sambo of the Year award, so y'all going to have to help her get it. And we promise that we're going to invite them to the dinner. If they don't show up, we'll make sure that they get the trophy to their home. And don't forget Dan McGinnis. I mean, we're having a ball here, but I'm going to let my good friend Phil have the final words, Dr. Chan. Talk to us. Tell us what you want people to know.
Okay. Well, I've learned a lot today from Dr. Times. I can't top what he said. He gave us such a good amount of history.
Yeah.
And the one important thing that I learned before I even asked the question was he said basically it's a technicality,
mm-hmm.
because black people are non-immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And so that might be a major thing that affects all these laws.
Yeah.
And sometimes it comes down to a silly little technicality, and the average person, you don't think, is aware of how the law works,
mm-hmm.
how lawyers work,
no.
and the whole system is based on a lot of times trickery, lies, and it seems to be that it's heading more and more that way.
But that's good. See, to me, they got two different sets of laws, two different constitutions. And we're not really part of that constitution, because regardless of what they told me, like this guy said, he said, by you being arrested with no charge, there's no constitutional violation and sent to prison. How could that be? That is impossible, because the law says your liberty. We talk about liberty, and they asked me. I mean, not one judge, not two judges, three judges said the same identical thing. What they're trying to do is say that you, as a black man, has no constitutional right.
That is what they're saying right now. They're saying, Reverend Pinckney, by you being a black man, you have no constitutional right. And on that note, I got to say goodbye. We have just ran out of time. Thank you so much, Dr. Tan. Thank you so much, Phil. I love y'all, and let's keep up the great work. And listen, Sunday, Doc, I want you to come on Sunday and talk about this too. I got you. Come on Sunday, because I, hey, that was very educational. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.